Well, tonight I want to talk about maybe a strange topic at first, but it's called trust issues. Now, if you're talking purely a secular point of view, just in relationships, for example, there's all kinds of trust issues. All kinds of trust issues. Man, when you first start dating, can y'all remember that far back? When you first start dating? And you know, you start, your heart is Twitter-pated and everything, and so it's like the person you're with, you're always worried about somebody else coming and steal her away, or steal him away, or something like that. So you get these trust issues, these points where you're afraid to trust, you know? You know what I'm saying? It comes hard. It doesn't always come natural. And that's looking at it from a purely secular point of view, just in relationships. And there's people on the job and at work, you never know sometimes until later you find out that there's people who actually are stabbing you in the back when they are pretending to be your friends. And they're trying to step over you so that they could get a possible promotion or something out of it. And so there again, you start having trust issues. Can I trust this person with certain things? And, you know, and so here your career might even be in the balance. And so I started thinking, okay, I know about the secular point of view, but what about spiritually? Spiritually, looking at my own life and reflecting back over some 30-odd years, I see where there's been seasons in my life that I have trust issues, believe it or not, with God. And dare I say, I'll bet you each and every one of us in this room has trust issues with God. Because you can't help but read the stories in the Old Testament and the miracles, oh my goodness, the miracles that happened in Egypt alone. Okay, when I talked about this a little bit, about Exodus on Wednesday. The miracles that occurred, and then they get to the Red Sea, and then they were fussing at Moses like, I told you this would happen. We should have stayed back in Egypt and served Pharaoh. Weren't there enough graves there? They didn't trust God would deliver. After seeing all those miracles, they didn't trust God. And so all through the years, they didn't trust him for daily needs. He sent the manna. He sent the quail. Everything God did for them in a miraculous way, they still ended up grumbling. And because of that, they didn't get to enter into the promised land. And so now we're 40 years past that point, past Exodus. And so now I'm into Joshua. And I just want to read you a little story, just a part of it. This is that famous Jericho. They call it the Battle of Jericho, but it wasn't really a battle. Hardly at all. Now, I'm just going to read you the instructions. I'm not going to read you the whole story. You can go and read Joshua chapter 6 yourself. But starting in verse 1, the Israelites were unstoppable. They were unstoppable. And the people knew it. And so here we have Jericho. Now Jericho was straightly shut up. In other words, they were locked in tight, doors locked, windows locked, everything locked tight because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. They locked the doors. You're not getting in here. That was their thinking. God had other plans. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see? And I like this. He's speaking in the past tense. You know, think about how big God is. He's speaking in the past tense. See, I have given into thine hand Jericho. It hadn't happened yet. As far as the Israelites were concerned, as far as God was concerned, it was a done deal. But here you go. He says, see, I have given thine hand into thine hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. He was given all this whole army, the king and the city and everything. And this is his set of instructions, and this is where the trust issues start coming in. and ye shall compass the city. In other words, surround it. You're going to surround the city, all ye men of war, and you're going to go around about the city once. Think about this. You're going to circle the city one time. One time. And thus shalt thou do 6 days. Interesting. 6 days. God's telling them, circle the city 6 days. And I was trying to look it up. And archaeology has approximated how big this place was. 6 acres or possibly 8 acres worth. So maybe it was a little more than a half a mile or more that they had to actually walk around all these different walls. I should have put up a picture of what the walls possibly looked like. So God's telling them, he said, I want you to just circle the city 6 times, one time a day, but 6 days. And then he says this, and 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. Now, I don't know if you know what a ram's horn looks like. It's kind of circular, you know, a little, yeah. It's called a shofar. Yes, and they blow in it. And it can make a very loud sound if done correctly. Some people just can't do it correctly, but if you do it correctly, it's very loud. So he's saying now, okay, when you do this 6 days, he said, I want 7 priests shall bear the before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns, and the 7th day, okay, now we're on the 7th day, ye shall compass the city, in other words, surround it, but this time you're going to do it 7 times on the 7th day. 7 times on the 7th day. So they've already done it once per day, 6 days. But on the 7th day, they're going to go 7 times. And then after the 7 times, and the priest shall blow with the trumpets. Maybe that's not after, that's during. Because he says it this way. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all of the people shall shout with a great shout, not squeaky, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, kind of deal. Not that squeaky. This is a loud shout, loud shout. And the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up, every man straight before him. Now, that is so interesting to me when you start thinking about it, because the first thing that would pop in my mind if I was Joshua and if I was one of the people who were going to be doing all this is, first of all, why? Why are we doing it this way? What kind of battle plan is this? What kind of strategy is it to walk around a city and just, you know, get ready and blow the horns? It's kind of like when Gideon, later in years, I don't know if y'all know about this entire army that was out here, humongous army that was up against Gideon, and God pared them down from thousands to 300 men. And all they had to do was break a bunch of pots and shout. And that caused a huge commotion among that entire army, and they ended up killing each other. God confused them to the point that the 300 men did not have to fight. That boggles my mind, the things that God can do. So here he's giving them instructions. Why 6 days? Why couldn't they walk 40 years? Why not 2 times around? Why not 3 times around? Why not do it all in one day? You know what? I think God sometimes will put us in situations, and he's going to see if you're going to follow through. Because when something don't make sense, that's when it takes faith. Boy, yeah, there's a lot of things that happen in my life, and I'm sure yours too. It don't make a bit of sense what God's doing, but I have to trust him. There are times I start thinking, now, wait a minute. God certainly knows what he's doing, but I wish he'd tell me about it. I wish he'd let me in on the secret. But see, God ain't going to share his glory. God says, I'm going to be glorified among the heathen, and I will be exalted among the nations. Now, he's going to do it with or without you. I'd much rather he do it with me. And that's what I am talking about tonight. So this message that I'm preaching about tonight really is affecting me, and I hope it lands on you as well, because sometimes I have trust issues with God. And you start to think, well, you know, your faith can determine really how big is God to you. You know, sometimes we think God is not capable of doing certain things. He can answer these small prayers like find me a good parking spot in Walmart. That's almost a miracle in itself. Find you a good parking spot in Walmart. Yes. And Dronda has a gift, and I'm sure God has given her that gift. She can spot a parking spot right up there in the front. And here I am saying, no, just park in the back. We'll walk it. You know, it does good to have, you know, exercise. But she'll find that one spot. She'll drive around a couple of rounds, you know, and she'll find it. So she's got a gift. I'm glad God gave her that gift. But that's what happens. I mean, just little things. We think God is just in the little things. But you know what? He wants to show, I don't want to say show off. That probably is not the right way to say it. He wants to exalt himself through you. Through you. He is eager to help you in any way that you need, but you have to trust his ways. Because we have our way. We think, you know, this is how this situation needs to be resolved, but God has something else in mind, perhaps. Because maybe he's working things out in multiple people's lives, and we don't have that vision. We can't see all the parts and all the pieces. So that's what I wanted to give you is when these people were told to do all these specific things, I think a lot of it had to do was to see if they would follow through. Give you another quick example. I don't have it up here, but Naaman. Naaman was full of leprosy. He was not a part of the Israelite, but I think he went to see Elisha, maybe? Elijah? I get the two confused sometimes. And he wanted him to heal him. Well, anyway, long story short, he told him, he says, go to the Jordan River and just dip yourself 7 times. Now, here's a man covered in leprosy, and he was a mighty man of valor in this army. And so here he had to strip off all of his armor, all of his clothes, and he was going to dip in the water 7 times. Can you imagine what he would have felt like there in front of God and his army and everyone else watching him dip in the water? And you're thinking, 6 times, I should be healed by now. But that's not his instructions. And his instructions were, do it 7 times. And what's funny about it, he actually grumbled about it. And finally, one of I don't know if it was a servant or if it was another soldier, but he said, look, would my Lord have done something if it was a great thing? He said, if he would have told you to do something great and big, wouldn't you have done it? He said, how much more should you do something like this? Because it seemed like a real small thing to do. Well, Naaman dipped himself 7 times. And he came up clean. Came up clean. Trust issues. Trust issues. He didn't want to believe the prophet. And God spoke to the prophet. Naaman was healed. Jesus even mentioned about that. And the widow. But anyway, to carry this a little further, even in John, in the New Testament, Lazarus was a special friend of the family that Jesus knew. He even stayed there with them. Well, they had tried to kill Jesus, and so they all left and went somewhere else. And then they had heard that Lazarus was sick. And when Lazarus got sick, Jesus stayed where he was for a couple more days or however many days. And then finally he said, you know what? Lazarus is sleeping. Let's go back and wake him up. And everyone was saying, wait a minute, they were trying to kill you. Said, if he's sleeping, he'll do well. And Jesus finally had to tell him straight up. He says, no, Lazarus is dead. He said, but for your sakes, he said, I'm glad I wasn't there. So that's kind of the premise behind everything that went on. So then when Jesus got there and he had spoken to some of them, verse 38, chapter 11 of John, verse 38 says, Jesus, therefore, again, groaning in himself, he came to the grave because he had asked them where they laid him. He came to the grave and it was a cave and a stone lay upon it. And Jesus said, take ye away the stone, Martha, the sister of him that was dead. So Martha was the sister to Lazarus. And she said unto him, Lord, by this time, 4 days now, said he stinketh, for he has been dead for 4 days. And Jesus is saying, roll away this stone. And you all know this story. Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, trust, think about this, that you should see the glory of God? See, that's what it comes down to. Do you trust me? Jesus is saying, do you trust me? Really trust me? If you do, you're going to see the glory of God. I believe that. And then they took away the stone, so they're obeying now, from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. Jesus had already been talking to the Father, and I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. So you see, there's a reason. There's a reason behind his instructions. We just have to trust him. So because of the people standing by, he said what he said. And how about this? And when, verse 43, and when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Oh, what a command. What a command. And he that was dead, 4 days. 4 days, came forth bound hand and foot. I wonder how that looked. Did he have to hop? I can't hop like a bunny rabbit. He probably had to hop. Yes, to get out of the grave, he had to hop because his hands and his feet were tied up. Yeah, oh, it's okay. His hands and feet were tied up. With the grave clothes, he was wrapped. And his face, now this would have been spooky, okay? This would have been spooky. His face was bound with a napkin. A napkin back then is not what you see when you go to a fast food restaurant. It was a cloth they covered the face up with, and then they wrapped you. And Jesus said unto them, loose him and let him go. Oh, praise the Lord. Trust issues. I mean, when we go to trust the Lord, he will do things for us. I'm telling you, folks, he has the power to do above, the Bible says, above and beyond what we could even ask or think. I believe you're going to see glory here, Teresa, soon. You're going to see glory of God. I believe several of you here are going to see the glory of God very, very soon. I don't think it's going to take very long at all. And we're going to have, I think, such a wonderful praise report, you know, of what God, the great and mighty God, does for somebody as simple as little old me, little old you, little old Brian. God is great. God is good. He is willing. He is not only willing, he's eager. He's eager to help you, to work with you. But it requires trust. I can't see, I wish I could, but but I can't see what's going to happen the very next day, much less 5 years into the future. I can't see it. I can pray, and I can talk to the Lord about it, to the one who can see. Amen. He can see. He only gives me enough. The Bible, the Scripture says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet." How far does a flashlight allow you to see in the dark? Not very far. Just really enough to take the next step. This is how it works. I don't understand it. God has His own ways and His own methods, but it's just enough to take the next step in faith. Take the next step in faith. Lord, I don't understand why I have this sickness, but I'm going to trust You. You're going to take another step in faith. Lord, I don't understand why somebody had to die, but I'm going to trust You. So You're going to take another step of faith. Lord, I don't understand why so many are sick and afflicted right now. Trust me, I've been lamenting over that. Shed some tears over that. People's families. We heard it tonight. People have lost souls in their families. I don't know why. I've been praying, and I know a lot of others have been praying, and we don't see anything really happening, but we have to take the next step. Take the next step. Trust God that He knows what He's doing in His own time. How I wish God would relieve pain instantly. And I know He can. And I know He does. There are occasions where He does. But you don't know why, so you take the next step. You get through another day. Sometimes the pain is bad enough to where it's hard to get through the next day. You just don't know how you're going to make it. And that's where the Lord has His own strategy, if you will, His own plan for you and for me. And all I can ask you to do is trust in Him and take the next step. Hang on to Jesus Christ, believe in Him, and believe that He's thinking of you, and take that next step. If you've got a lost loved one, we all do. We've got somebody in our lives that don't quite know Jesus yet. Some of them are on the precipice to where they're about ready to give their heart over. Some of them are just so far away that they're like the prodigal son. They haven't yet come to their senses. But you got to take that next step and pray one more day. Like the father in the parable, you got to keep looking. You got to keep looking day after day. Trust issues. Don't give up. Don't give in. God wants to show His glory to you. And so I'm going to end the sermon with this. Because when I read it, it's one of those kind of scriptures to me. I don't know how you will react to it, but it's one of those scriptures to where it just almost smacks you in the face to wake you up. Deronda sometimes will, bless her heart, she tries to wake me up easy. I'm not one of those people that you can wake up very easy. She'll come up, touch me on the shoulder, honey, and I jump out of my skin because that's just how I am. I mean, that's my... And so when I read this scripture, it just kind of hit me like that. It hit me, and it's like, wow. You know, so I started reading it several times, and it's one of those where I hope I can, my memory is not as good as I'd like it to be, but I hope I can memorize this for daily devotions. In Isaiah 55 and 6, he says this, "Seek ye the Lord while He may be found." That part right there hit me hard. While He may be found. There's coming a time to where He won't be found. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. He's standing near. He's waiting. I think he's waiting. And so he gives us some instructions. He says, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Is there something in your ways, in your thoughts, that are untoward a godly life, a godly Christian? He's saying, forsake those. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Thank God, I have so much that needs to be pardoned. Thank God. And that's why it hit me so hard, seeking while he can be found and while he's near. Because he says this, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. We don't get to tell him how to do things. All we have to do is trust. Trust. And then finally, in verse 9, he says, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Please stand. Heavenly Father, I think in some ways I'm glad I can't see everything, because if I did, I probably would be scared out of my wits. But Lord, this I know. I know that you have our best interest in your heart, in your mind. I know that you're a good God. I know that you will abundantly pardon. And Lord, as we call upon you, while you can still be found and while you are yet near, we will take that next step day by day, and we will put our trust in you, Lord, for there is none other that we can go to, as Peter said. Who else can we go to? For you have the words of life, he said to Jesus. So, Lord, we're taking that step every day. No, we don't understand why people are hurting like they are tonight. We don't understand why people are sick like they are tonight. We pray for their healing. We pray for their recovery. People are grieving tonight, Lord. We don't understand it. But this we know. We know that your thoughts are higher than our thoughts and your ways are higher than our ways. Just have mercy on us, God. Have mercy on us. So, Lord, as we dismiss here tonight, Lord, give us that strength that we can take the next step for the next day. And then tomorrow, Lord, give us that strength yet again. For we ask in the name and for the sake and for the glory of Almighty Jesus Christ, our soon coming King. Amen.